right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John.
In the dungeon.
In the baby dungeon. Gentlemen, how are we doing? It's a freezing cold morning.
So cold.
So cold. Cold in here, too. Chuck's wearing 16 layers.
Chuck puts his headphones over his pulled up hoodie, which is over his stocking cap.
Usually he's just doing like the fat guy wear layers to like disguise the layers. Mm-hmm. But this time, this is real.
Yeah, I'm really cold. It's like 25 degrees outside.
Well, you were reared in the warm suns of
Hollywood,
South Florida,
and my blood is paper thin. It's just
alcoholism.
Yeah, no. Sorry. Just been drinking a lot.
They found traces of blood in Chuck's alcohol stream the last time he went in.
But yeah, it's like I can see my breath when we're podcasting because Keith doesn't keep his baby dungeon warm unless there's a baby in here.
It's a basement. It's hard.
I get it.
You know, it stays cool in the summer. Cool in the winter.
We're lucky. He does have the windows blacked out though, which is cool.
Well, you don't want neighbors peeking in. No. You know,
they might steal all of the baby toys on the floor.
You know, when you're walking by someone's house and they're watching TV and there's no way to look away.
Yeah,
you get that blue glow of TV. You're like, oh, there.
What's that?
What are they watching?
Man, they're on Westworld.
Like, is that, yeah.
I look in my neighbor's TV and judge him.
Yeah, is that a Netflix show?
I'm like, oh, that's The Bachelorette. Monday Night Football's on.
Dude, you're losing.
Did we have a chance to eat breakfast on this frigid morning in Nashville?
Did I ever?
Tell us, John.
Get ready for this Asian sensation. I had breakfast fried rice.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Breakfast is the adjective for the fried rice.
Over easy egg on top of a bed of Asian flavors.
That sounds awesome.
It was good. Had a side of English breakfast tea. Did it right this morning.
Oh, you went the full colonial breakfast.
It's imperial.
Yeah. I'm an imperialist.
An imperialistic.
I work for the Dutch East India Company.
Well, I happened to go to Hardee's today.
Hardee's?
In the old school way. The fashion that I like to do is get me one of them biscuits. And I got the other day I got their pork chop and gravy biscuit.
Gotta say, that was horrific.
Oh,
you Chuck threw a photo of this pork chop biscuit up on our Patreon-only Slack chat. Made me gag a bit. That's a truth in advertising photo.
It was incredible. But what I had today was better. It was a chicken biscuit with bacon and Swiss. And it tasted like a chicken cordon bleu biscuit.
I had chicken cordon bleu for dinner last night.
Ooh, synchronicity.
Yeah.
Breakfast for dinner.
So
what happens when you don't love each other anymore. Hey, honey, let's have breakfast for dinner.
Chicken cordon bleu is a normal dinner entree.
I'm thinking of Monte Cristo.
That's it.
That's where you like dip it in lard and powdered sugar, right?
It's just like an old, like a really souped up French toast sandwich. That's all Monte Cristo is.
Sounds pretty good.
It is pretty good. But yeah, that chicken biscuit from Hardee's. Oh, you know what they had too? They had a self-service kiosk.
What?
The CEO of Hardee's, who's going to be the labor secretary or secretary of commerce or something.
Linda McMahon.
The secretary of getting rid of jobs.
Sending poor people to the unemployment office. And you get a 10% discount if you ring up your own food.
That's because you don't have to pay the worker.
You don't have to pay a worker. And I was like, that's 10%. That's all it costs you, 10% is labor. That's trash. But I inferred that as the employee discount, and I stole a large cup and didn't ring it up.
Oh.
So I got me a large Diet Coke and didn't ring
what is
that
this?
Mug. I'm admitting to robbing Hardee's today.
This wouldn't be the first crime you've committed to tape on our podcast. I was saying, but it's a self-serve kiosk, but it's like also on the honor system.
Yeah, they're also like, hey, here are cups. If you buy a cup, take it.
Oh,
and yeah, because they don't give
that
you the cup.
Hardee's has FU money.
Oh no, for sure.
I ain't worried about it.
No, they're like, those cups don't cost nothing. They can figure out if we get 10% off and we can boost our numbers, make it look like people love not talking to people when they order their fast food, and we can fire everybody.
They're the NBA with league pass. They don't even care.
No,
Yeah, this is garbage. Who cares? I have so much money.
Yeah, this is what every man wants.
What do you see? Like you're yeah, nerdy podcaster, you're going to quit buying League Pass, please.
Right. Fat guy, you're going to stop eating biscuits and hamburgers covered in sauce. Nope.
Well, I shouldn't have saved my breakfast for last because it's the worst. Oh, I just had a banana.
We should always.
You guys are living the lives.
That is literally the worst one.
It's not. Yeah, you know.
But it's sustenance. Sometimes you got to do it.
Just got to, you know, a cup of coffee.
I could be cramping today.
Cup of coffee. Oh yeah, I got my potassium.
Mm-hmm. Step it up.
Yep. All right. So after our breakfast, we move on to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
I think we should all just dive on in and say sorry to our beloved Memphis Grizzlies.
They've exceeded our win total we proclaimed already.
Well, first of all, it warmed my heart to hear Chuck say our Memphis Grizzlies.
You know, I've come a long way.
He's coming along.
He hit the eject button on that Heat.
And my Heat are just the worst to watch.
I think the Whiteside trade is going to turn him around.
Oh, me too. We send him to Boston for Al Horford and 40 picks.
I'm telling you, Whiteside to Portland, and then like Plumlee, McCollum to the Sixers.
Mm-hmm. Give me
Noel and maybe a pick.
Noel Nerlens.
Keith just made three teams worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't make the Blazers worse because they suck.
Yeah.
Didn't make the Sixers worse because they are also terrible.
And the Heat cannot be any worse.
Some Whiteside makes your team worse.
That could be.
It could happen.
What if Evan Turner, a triumphant return to Philadelphia?
Bring that prodigal son back.
I got us off track.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, you were apologizing. And I think we're all going to team apologize. The Memphis Grizzlies, I mean, I know this might be the I still can't admit that they're going to keep winning.
Mark the Shark MVP train.
But they did survive.
All aboard.
The four-game stretch of Blazers, Warriors, Cavs, which we assume would be 0-4.
Oh, more than survived, my friend.
They went 3-1, and yes, LeBron and whoever, and shut your mouth about players resting. Yes, they did not come to the Grizzlies because they didn't want any.
Right. They knew Mark was
back. Like, I'm not flying down to Cleveland just to wrestle with the Shark.
No way. Get Z-Boat in the face. You know?
So, anyway, but we have to apologize because this is staggering.
It is.
I mean, they're now 7-2 since Conley went down.
That's ridiculous. Because Keith was, you were apocalyptic.
I maintained my win total, starting with that Blazers game, going through the end of January.
And we chronicled it.
I put their over-under at 7.5, and I'm taking the under. I thought they would win 7 of their next 26 games.
And they're 7-2.
Well, there are no. They're 3-1.
Oh, okay.
So they're almost.
But they're 7-2
Keith's still going to die on this hill.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Well, John's shaking his head at me. You didn't think I was that far off.
Keith's a terrible influence on me.
I will say, and this is, This will, I guess, it could,
hope succubus.
Looking ahead to my steak and eggs, I think it's weird how the one awesome victory over the Warriors retroactively makes all those miraculous tight wins over horrible teams seem good. You're like, they won 5 in a row and beat the Warriors. So it's now like everything's cool. And then they beat the Cavs again, playing.
So this probably segues naturally into your steak and eggs best of the week, right, Keith?
Exactly. So those were our breakfast and bed apologies. Before I get to my steak and eggs best thing, I want to tell you guys about our friends Fan Essentials. With Christmas coming up, it's a great gift to give to others or to the biggest sports fan in your life, yourself. Go to fanessentials.net and get a subscription for team gear and collectibles for your favorite team, be it NFL, college, baseball, or NBA. Use the code FBBF, as in Fast Break Breakfast, and you get 30% off your subscription, and we get a couple of dollars to help warm the baby dungeon.
I could have saved a lot of money on all this team gear I'm wearing right now.
That's right. Your mismatched Predators and Grizzlies that John is currently sporting.
Tennessee.
I'd also say for Christmas,
I'm like Arrested Development up in here.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for things to get for Christmas, why don't you go to fastbreakbreakfast.com? Go into our store. Buy some of those t-shirts off TeePublic. We still got some for
Mr.
even cheaper.
Randall, yeah.
Some.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the TV show.
Nah.
I thought you were talking about Buster Bluth.
I like Buster Bluth. Who's your favorite Bluth brother?
Who's your favorite Bluth?
I'm a Buster man.
I think Buster's unanimous.
Yeah,
in this room.
Can't go.
I won this at Army.
But George Michael.
He's great.
But he's not a, he's a Bluth boy, but
Job's,
he's not
his brother. Job's stock has plummeted faster than Hassan Whiteside's.
I did love Manny.
Man, he just had 22 rebounds last night, dog. Why you keep dogging my boy? I'm sorry.
I take your story. We're still in the ad portion of the program. Anyway, go to, hey, so buy us some shirts. And if you want to make our Christmases happier, go to patreon.com.
Yeah.
Throw us some dollars. So go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Help us out there. We really appreciate all of those who have done that already. All right, steak and eggs. Best thing. What's the best thing of the week? As I teased, I went to Memphis. Got that press pass. Ooh. Going to see the Warriors. I don't know what the etiquette is. I actually bought a ticket as well. I kept my ticket because the media seating is not awesome. It's kind of far away. I like to sit a little closer. Right. So I was walking back and forth between the media section and then going down and sitting in my seats. But it was awesome.
So you got a spare ticket? You didn't holler at your boy?
No, I know. I mean, my buddy went. Okay. My buddy Ben went, you know, yeah, to the game. Yeah. I mean, I did have some tickets, but I sold those.
I know you did for thousands of dollars.
And actually, honestly, the demand was kind of low.
Was it?
It was not a profitable exchange. Oh,
but
really,
you killed it on selling those tickets before they called LeBron and Kyrie.
I did, however, make a large profit by selling my Cavs tickets an hour before Tyronn Lue announced that LeBron was not coming to Memphis.
Tyronn Lue didn't announce nothing. You could see LeBron's hand up his backside.
Puppeteer.
LeBron was like, we're going to stay here.
Tyronn Lue's on the cover of the new NBA 2K. Do you see that? It's Allen Iverson stepping over the shadow of Tyronn Lue with his with his cornrows.
I did not. That's really,
yeah, is that real?
Yeah. There's an Allen Iverson 2K version. And yeah, it's incredible.
Going back to my steak and eggs.
Sorry.
But sorry, we're scattered and smothered. It's early. Everywhere. We're cold.
We're everywhere.
We're just everywhere. I think my favorite was, I mean, the game was awesome. It was a blowout.
Incredible.
Like I threw on the Periscope early, mm-hmm, you know, Grizzlies housing Warriors, tongue in cheek, because
right,
they were up like 9-5. Uh-huh. It was true. It never went away. It
never did.
Like,
that was kind of a belt wire to wire.
It was.
Yeah. Weren't
it,
you, it was, though, like with 2 minutes left and like the Grizz are up 27, right?
Uh-huh.
Were you going, is it mathematically possible for the Warriors to come back?
You know, third base Klay Thompson only needs 90 seconds to score.
Well, in the
60
in,
points,
in the
11
quarter,
triples.
You know, in the third quarter, the Grizzlies come out and score like the first eight.
Right.
They're 30.
Right.
And up 30, I was actually in the media section at this point, and we're like, it's over, right? Like, this is not, but you're still nervous. Like,
yeah,
you're still nervous of the Warriors.
Like, every one of these players can
and
just
the Grizzlies
catch
are,
fire.
Are still playing undrafted. Right. You know, like Tony Douglas and Troy Williams, and it's like
Troy,
yeah,
Williams is that dude.
Oh, that block, yeah, was so good.
Incredible.
It was. No. I had a funny experience with that game because I was tempting fate by singing with Bird Cloud that night, which is two of my ex-girlfriends, so I'm lucky to be alive.
Yeah, you should have died.
But there was a sports bar connected to the venue, and I would sneak over there. And the first time I looked at the score, I looked at it and went, no, I did. I looked at that wrong. Let me look.
Right,
at
right,
that.
Right.
It was the same.
And then I looked at it again. And I went, "Man, the scoreboard."
I think you texted something like, "What's going on?"
I was the second half. The group chat was, "What is happening?"
Yes,
16 question marks.
It was really amazing. I mean, the Warriors did not want to be there.
No, they all went. They all went in a rendezvous.
Well,
right,
and
the
were. I don't know if there was a hangover from. They went to a Germantown basketball high school game the night before,
really?
Because Ian Clark, who grew up in Memphis,
yeah,
had his jersey retired, and the whole team's out on a team excursion, but they did not want to play. Zaza Pachulia just said he was a late scratch, so Andy Varejao plays. He's horrible.
Dude.
He's so bad.
But
the Varejao thing's over. It's JaVale all day now.
It is JaVale all day. I think my favorite thing, though, was post-game in the locker room, Tony Allen just talking about the game, and they're talking about how, you know, they're like, "Hey, man, like, you hit a three. Like, did you know that three was going in?" He's like, "I hit a three. I didn't even know." Like, "Yeah, at the buzzer shot clock, it went in." It's like, "You hit more threes than Clay." And he's like, "Yeah, that's what's up." He's so good. And then they're like, "Tony, are you taking more offensive role? Are you purposefully trying to abuse players in the post now that, you know, the team is shorthanded?" He's like, "No, man, that's just basketball." He's like, "If I get somebody, you know, if I get 6'2", man, I'm taking him down. I'm getting him down." And they're like, "Have you been working on the spin move? Have you been working on the spin move?" He's like, no, man, if he overplays, I'm just going to spin. That's just basketball. Yeah. I've been doing that forever. YouTube me. Tony's like, man. And he says everything with a twinkle in his eye. I mean, again, I am, as everyone knows, I'm enamored. Yeah. Like, he's my favorite player.
He is.
But he's funny. Like, he knows he's funny. He's making jokes. And he has that crazy eye, too, where you're like, this guy's a little nuts. He's
like,
off.
You but. Know that there isn't any real and like analysis in his game. He's just, no, that's what you, there isn't like, yeah, so in this position, I'm going to make sure that I pivot this back foot and keep myself in balance so that I can go. No, he's going, I just need just to get instinct. To the hall.
Yeah, yeah. And he claims he doesn't think about basketball. I mean, he scored 19 in the game. He outscored Clay, outscored Steph.
Right.
And I think one of the things is people do think of him as just being like maybe out of control, but he actually is, he's incredibly smart.
Right.
He studies the iPad nonstop. On the defensive assignments, like he gets a lot.
I think
of credit
he's just playing Candy Crush, man.
He could be, but no. So he knows what's going on. I do think he plays around a little, like he knows, because you can see it whenever you put a guy on who is like a CJ McCollum, a guy who isn't known for his defense.
Oh dear.
When he gets the ball, he dribbles straight at him. Like he just in like. So that's why I'm always like, you know, he gets a bad rap.
I mean, he's been around for a long time.
He knows what he's doing. But that was a very long steak and eggs. What do you guys got?
The Spurs, the high flying Spurs.
Highfalutin Spurs.
They had 17 made alley-oops last season. This season, already, have 18.
That's the Deadman effect.
That's the, yeah, Simmons.
Dwayne.
They're looking, you know, it's a different kind
of
ball
club. Do you know who's catching the most of them?
I do not know.
And I assume it's not Powell. Is it just
certainly not Powell.
Ghost Simmons and Dwayne Deadman?
Mm-hmm. But, I saw that.
Tony Parker?
Probably Tony Parker catching all that. They're playing different kind of basketball. They're 20 and 5.
They're Patty Mills airballed threes that are caught.
That's what it is.
They keep winning.
They can't stop winning. Kawhi's looking.
They're not going to lose any road games.
Like he's looking like the maniacal kind of like crazy Kobe end of game kind of like. Assassin.
He puts you on the Kawhi Island now.
Kawhi Island.
You see, guys, seen that hardwood paroxysm?
No, I hadn't seen it. I like it.
He's got a thing. He's calling it the Kawhi Island, which is if you want to have any hope of beating the Spurs, you got to like take who, no matter how important this player is to your game. If the guy being guarded by Kawhi, you got to like stick his ass in the third row.
Yeah,
yeah.
He doesn't cross half court. But yeah, no, they look great, and they're on on pace to have one top two or three seeds in the playoffs, so they could still be they match up kind of well with the Warriors. I could see it happening. I can't. The Warriors are going to destroy them.
Tim Duncan back tattoo.
That thing. Did you see it?
I couldn't believe it was real.
It looked like every.
Because it seemed like the joke thing.
It does.
Well, there was tweets before and Instagram like, oh, look at Tristan Thompson's new tattoo. And it's like a whole back thing that's like Chloe. But it's not real.
Right.
You know, so I assumed it was a Photoshop, like, oh, cyborg Tim Duncan put a bunch of robot looking gears on his back.
Yeah. Sprockets and.
But widgets. Apparently it's real.
Yeah. And it looks like every shitty tattoo that anyone I was in the Air Force with got.
I just like that it lets you know that Tim Duncan's into hard sci-fi.
Yeah, biomechanical.
I feel like we knew that, though.
Do you think he was inspired by Westworld?
Well, I didn't know. I thought maybe there'd be some Dungeon Master Dragon type stuff, but no. He showed us he's like a Robert Heinlein, like Gibson necromancer guy. Neuromancer.
Oh, man, that's great.
No dragons, no Khaleesi.
He's just getting started.
Steampunk.
He's got that. That's an addiction. Once you've sat in a tattoo chair for 14 hours, because that's had to have been.
Well, I mean,
torso.
Do you think he was
together.
Always like, when I retire, I will finally have time
to tattoo
to put
my entire body?
Tattoo.
And it had a yin yang in it. Like,
yin yang
in
the thing.
It's every tattoo artist's nightmare. It's like biomechanical with a yin yang, and they go, ugh.
Man,
can we just do flash tattoos?
I told you about my back tattoo. I'm getting
what?
Dragon in a Hawaiian shirt, hanging 10 on a surfboard, eating a yin yang like an apple. Huge, huge spliff. The smoke spells out 420/69. Hanging 10 on a big wave.
On a big wave.
Cresting.
I think that's the greatest tattoo idea of
Hawaiian shirt, no pants.
You know what you need? A dream catcher in there somewhere.
No, it's racist, dog.
John, you got a best thing?
Frank Vogel going Super Saiyan. unlocking the powers of Lord Elfrid Payton, and finally, Aaron Gordon. 33 points from the power, from the small forward.
From the small forward position. Still not a front court, but no. I thought Elfrid Payton's early game was, I dismissed to a John Wall lackadaisical defensive effort. But this most recent one, you know, you put together a couple of really hot, you know, victories, 26-point games.
Magic or frisky, boys. And Frank Vogel was the love that Vogel pickup. If it wasn't for Fizdale, he'd be my coach of the year. Coach of the year, Frank Vogel.
What about the D'Antoni? No Mike D'Antoni love?
I'm being real facetious. Mike D'Antoni's coach of the year.
Okay. It's still Fizz.
No, if the Grizz make the playoffs with the injury that, you know, losing their...
How can the Grizz miss the playoffs? They never lose.
Marc Gasol is the 8th best 3-point shooter in the NBA.
He's 45% or something.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I give that credit to Fizdale. It just seems mind-blowing that no other coaches were like, hey, have you noticed Marc Gasol can hit all his threes in practice? Like, have you ever noticed that he hits all these shots? I'm like, no, it's a bad shot.
Yeah,
bad shot.
Ruins our spacing.
Let's have him shoot 2 feet inside of that line.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, no, the Magic are looking frisky. I was worried. Were you unanimous? Was that one of our unanimous overs?
I don't think so.
Okay, I know I was over. So
yeah.
Anyway, they are looking frisky, starting to win some games.
Yeah,
they're in the hunt.
And it's funny to watch, you know, the Pacers who are playing better than they had been, but you think about it, you're like, oh, Vogel's so much better than McMillan.
Oh, yeah.
What were you thinking?
No question.
What were you thinking?
Got to get that new voice. All right, those were our steak and eggs best things. What's the opposite of that? What is your cream of wheat worst of week?
Look at those mountains. Look at those trees. Look at Luke Walton, boy, he down on his knees.
Uh-oh.
I hate L.A. I hate watching the Lakers, and I really, really hate betting on the Lakers because they are trash.
They've broke our hearts in our pick and pull.
Lakers just throw us off the scent? Was the hot start not real?
Is D'Angelo Russell that good?
No.
No. I'd assume that's not.
When he plays, they still are terrible.
He hasn't played in a while.
Luol Deng, though, he woke up.
Dang, dang, a ding dong.
He woke up from his cryogenic chamber.
It took him months to get all the
Lou Williams. Sweet Lou Williams is scoring like 36 a game, and they just lose every
Swaggy P.
I guess that's the lesson learned. When Captain Lou scores for you, you're gonna lose.
Yeah,
and it doesn't seem like he's doing anything wrong. He's scoring it on incredible efficiency.
He's doing what he has to do.
Their problems are just roster related, I guess. Although I've not been super into Luke Walton's game plans the last couple games I watched.
So maybe Luke Walton did do some sort of that magic motivational stuff that we don't really think is a real thing early in the season, and now they're just like, oh yeah, we're bad.
I got another theory on it. It's rumored he's been talking to Phil Jackson.
Oh yeah.
For advice. So maybe the Zen Masters just poisoned him.
Well, you know what Phil's
gave him the wrong
was, right?
Gave him the wrong Grateful Dead mixtape.
Get a top five of all time player, and you'll be good at coaching.
And keep doing that,
and just over and over.
Keep doing that
for years and years.
Well, I knew when the game Walton got ejected, and he was
fired up.
But then I looked over and I'm like, oh no, Brian Shaw.
Yeah,
I think we've learned he should not be coaching.
That lead dissipated.
Yeah,
that's the thing. The Lakers that third quarter that the Kings put on the Lakers was as humiliating as it gets.
Can't argue.
I mean, they got Jaeger bombed.
Kings are starting to win a little bit, even though Sacramento fans are learning that Jaeger will not play the rookies, even when they rest all their good players.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're losing by 30 to the Rockets. Oh, it never occurred to me to put in the rookies.
Oh, we are so free.
Oh, free.
We are so free.
It's like a weight lifted off my chest. It's great. My worst thing goes to my boy, Devin Booker.
Oh.
Got a little feedback, angry feedback on Twitter. I was just watching the Suns play. And again, I like Devin Booker.
You hate Devin Booker.
I have him on all my fantasy teams. I had for 2 years.
Why?
I just thought he would be good value last year. It worked out. And this year, I kept him.
You just think he's cute. You think he's handsome.
He has beautiful eyes and eyebrows.
Yeah. Skin's so soft.
But so I'm watching Devin Booker play. And it occurs to me, and I pointed this out, how it seems to be his goal every time is to shoot an 18-foot jumper. And his 18-foot jumper looks beautiful, nice arch, good release, doesn't go in that much.
Ever.
So I'm thinking, who's another player that I can remember who it seemed like their goal was just to get an 18-foot jumper? and it didn't always go in. And I'm like, oh, my boy. My boy, OJ Mayo.
That is OJ Mayo.
So then I run to Basketball Reference because I'm excited. I feel like this is a moment of inspiration.
I don't think OJ Mayo's ever swatted a shot like Booker did on Melo, though.
Let's save that Melo block. That was awesome. So I run to Basketball Reference because I feel like this is, I had a little epiphany. Their games, I think, are similar. And then I look at the numbers. The numbers are indecipherable. Like, Devin Booker.
Give us the player A, player B treatment.
Well, I mean, this is, all right. So player A, these are career numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I know OJ Mayo was 21 when he came into the league, and Devin Booker was 19. But also, OJ Mayo's best years were his first two. But so career numbers, one player averages 40. This isn't even worthwhile because they're the same. One player A, 42.4 from the field, 34% from three, 2.5 rebounds, 2.6 assists, half a steal, 0.3 blocks.
I'm going to say that is not Miracle Whip, but Mayo. Because Devin Booker probably has slightly better.
All right, so one, and the next player, 42.9 from the field, 37.3 from the 3-point, 3.1 rebounds, 2.9 assists, 1 steal, 0.3 blocks.
I think Mayo had a better 3-point shooting.
Yeah, the key to it is Devin Booker is OJ Mayo with worse 3-point shooting.
Which,
he's light Mayo.
He's Miracle Whip.
Gross.
Also, the comparisons are
salad dressing.
Both, like, Devin Booker, 102 offensive rating, OJ Mayo, 103. Devin Booker, 113 defensive, OJ Mayo, 110. It's just, I mean, everything is very similar. Like, the same blocks, OJ Mayo had more steals, 0.3 more assists, and they both shoot five shots, you know, five field goals made, 12 field goals attempted. So, the comparison on totals, the per 36, Devin Booker scores a little more. And yeah, I mean, Suns fans getting angry. Yes, he's young. But I think you have to be concerned to some degree that
his defense is so poor.
His defense is horrible. So
does it ever scare y'all's balls off that, like, there's people out there who are actually using Miracle Whip as salad dressing? Like putting it on their salads?
Yeah, they're all in Kansas.
And they're all been appointed to the cabinet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it says salad dressing on that jar.
It does. Someone does it. I don't believe in salad dressing.
Devin Booker is salad dressing.
If you only compare the first 2 years of OJ Mayo and Devin Booker, it's not even fair because all of OJ's numbers are way better.
Yeah.
So that's something. I think, again, it's young. Devin Booker could still become an all-star, could still become a really good player. But I think to say you're not concerned because he's only 20 is starting to be a little, I'm putting my head in the sand, that there are some red flags that
he's,
you know,
gonna get
he might just be a
six-man. He's going to get an endorsement deal from, like, Noxzema or something.
Hmm.
That beautiful skin.
He's going to be splashing water on his face.
Could be like a L'Oreal model.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe he's born with it.
Lucrative. He's stealing Chandler Parsons' thunder. Although Chandler Parsons has started dressing like a street magician. So I don't know. I don't know how hot he is anymore.
That's funny.
His outfits. Where's the outraged white mom who didn't know how to explain to her children about Cam Newton dancing and wrote a letter to the paper?
Mm.
How do I explain to my kids Chandler Parsons' outfit?
You can't.
Yeah.
Look,
I actually know where the white woman is with the letter. She's not offended because she's a racist.
That's right.
She doesn't care what Chandler Parsons does. Anyway, Chuck, you have a worst of the week?
Yeah. My worst is people complaining about resting. John and I drove here together to the Baby Dungeon, and on three sports radio programs, they could only talk about how the Cavs rested all their superstars. I forget what Nudnik said, that we shouldn't rest every superstar. What the hell does that even mean? You know,
I hate this topic so much. I don't even want to talk about it.
No, I think we should talk about how we hate it and how it's dumb. This is a long NBA season. These are players that, you know, push their bodies to the limit every night for our effing enjoyment. And if they want to take some time off when they're pretty much assured a trip to the finals or a trip to the playoffs,
it's almost as irritating as when people got mad about Mike Conley being the highest paid player. Almost that level of irritation.
It's silly to me.
I'm with you. And especially these games when it's like you're going to fly to this city and then fly home.
Right.
For one game, the day after a game. Yeah. Yeah, stay home.
Okay. Now, I get it from the perspective of the fan of like, hey, I bought that ticket wanting to see those players the one time they're going to play
it. Chuck, now we're discussing it. Let's
move
on. Them's the breaks, kids.
Get over yourselves, rich.
Move on.
Top one percenter.
Life is full of disappointments.
Speaking of moving on, I think it's time for Hassan Whiteside's
I agree.
Cock rocked it back to Waffle House. Scattered, smothered, and covered thoughts.
Thanks, John. I enjoyed you doing the transition.
That's right.
That was good. That's
had to get off that topic.
That's teamwork. I appreciate it. I don't know if you saw, so LeBron James, who hit the 27,000 points, 7,000 rebounds, 7,000 assists, and has career averages of 27-7-7.
Right.
Has never actually had a 27-7-7 game.
That's weird.
Pretty weird.
Just random.
Yeah.
I don't know if aliens are behind it, but
it seems like
aliens are behind most things.
Not illegal aliens, John. I'm talking about
The pyramids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The minimum wage.
The pyramids.
Stonehenge.
Yeah.
So I got something.
What do you got, Chuck?
I don't know if you guys follow Dikembe Mutombo on Instagram.
Nope.
You should. He released a statement which is an interesting picture to assign. It's him dunking a basketball, and the caption says, "If you get the email from me which said that I had been robbed in Philippine, do not answer. It is not me."
Hmm.
That there sounds like a fake email.
It does sound like a fake email. And I have access to this email that he's referencing here. And it reads, all caps, "Request for assistance, strictly confidential. I am Dikembe Mutombo Muplando Mukamba Jinjax Watumbo, the second all-time leader in basketball blocks."
Mark Eaton forever.
I like how he's like, here's eight names, and if you're still not sure.
Yeah, it's
I'm the
basketball guy. "I am stranded here in Manila, Philippines, since last night. I was robbed on my way to the basketball courts, and I'm now in custody of the National Basketball Authority, pending when I make payment on an outstanding bill I owe."
The NBA.
"I have been signing basketballs for days while also being used to sex women to father the next generation of Philippines basketball
Who
players.
Who wants to sex Mutombo? Oh.
I'm gonna replace that with the actual audio.
Who wants to scam Mutombo? It should. They do not understand that no means no, 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 no. So.
That's horrible and funny.
Please help me by money transfer to realdikembemutombo@myway.com.
I'm doing it right now.
Without delay, while I wait to hear from you.
Can
Thanks once again
off?
For your kindness."
So,
wait, the okay, ending
okay,
is
okay,
great.
Okay.
And may God reward you for all your endeavors and make you realize your dreams and my dreams come true of returning to my house as I am not in my house. Your beloved friend, Real Dikembe Mutombo."
That is some pro football commenter level satire humor.
So I know who is behind this email.
Jonathan Swiftian. Oh, do you?
Yeah. And this
been doing some conspiratorial thinking?
This might be a little bit of a conspiracy.
Oh, is this Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week, which is hasn't happened in
haven't
months?
Months. I ran out of them midway through the second season, and now I just stare at my phone. So I think we can all agree there's one person that we can point to who is for sure responsible for this, and that is
Clay Bennett,
the Nigerian prince, who is sad. No one's emailing him anymore.
It's Manny Pacquiao. If it's in the Philippines, it's Manny Pacquiao.
It does make sense.
He's the god emperor.
He is on the board of the National Basketball Authority.
Oh,
which is,
that sounds like a front for the PBA.
It has so many.
How close is their logo to the Jerry West NBA logo?
It's
like we're the NBA.
This it's exactly is, the same. Only it has a short round from the Indiana Jones movies.
yeah. So there's a lot of people that could have sent that email out. I think,
but you don't think he's actually there. Because that Instagram account sounded more fake than the fake email.
Than the
Dude,
fake email?
I know exactly where Dikembe is. He's at a slam dunk contest somewhere, falling out of his chair, laughing. That's where Dikembe always is, yeah.
I mean, who would have a motivation to get rid of Dikembe?
Manute Bol, rest in peace.
Well, he is. His next Instagram posted is geolocated to the United States, place.
That's easy to fake, Chuck.
And then he's in a suit.
I got a screenshot of a geolocation I send my girlfriend all the time.
Oh, dude. Thankfully, she doesn't listen to this. Yeah.
Or know it exists.
He's the Congolese king who got gypped by the Nigerian prince. That's where my conspiracy ends.
Chuck's so scared to say Pacquiao. I've seen his thought board, you know, in all the serial killer movies where you track down the guy and there's like pins and strings and everything. And all the strings lead to a YouTube video of Manny Pacquiao doing karaoke.
He's really good at karaoke.
He's the worst ever at karaoke, but he thinks he's really great at it.
Have you ever listened to him do Don't Stop Believing?
Yes.
It's pretty great.
So beautiful. Moving on.
Yeah, so that is Chuck's scattered and smothered turkey bacon conspiracy theory of the week. I feel like it could be someone like maybe David Stern, part of the Fair Play Initiative, really wanted to cut out Dikembe's taunting.
Yeah.
So now he shipped him off to
no.
The Philippines.
Not in the House of Matumbo. If you guys want to troll this this spammer or whatever, this fisher, email real Dikembe Mutombo at myway.com and see how far you can get and let us know what you think.
I'm not crossing the streams with these geniuses.
They seem to be.
These ransom geniuses.
They've thought of every angle. I don't want to.
It's done.
I don't get locked in. Something else. Danny LaRue tweeted, Domantas Sabonis, his free throw attempt rate is historically and incomprehensibly low. He only has 2 free throw attempts in 518 minutes.
Soft. S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
Well, he's just not getting those. He's just not getting those whistles. They're holding his daddy's sins against him. His big broken legs, his feet that never worked.
His beautiful wife.
Beautiful wife and amazing. Didn't we have a conversation about that when we saw him? He goes, what?
If he wasn't 7 feet tall, then I would insist that's not his child.
That's not his child. Because Sabonis the Elder looked like one of the Klitschko brothers.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Just like he got his
Frankenstein's monster Klitschko brother.
There's a lot of boxing talk this week.
Blazer Bonus is all time top 10 all time favorite NBA player for me.
Oh, he's
Blazer Bonus was the best.
He was probably he was fun to watch. Could pass.
I've said it several times. I stumbled upon Arvydas Sabonis Day when I was in Portland, Oregon.
That is so awesome.
It was fantastic. I mean, he was there. Sabonis and all kinds of Brian Grant and Chris Dudley and all kinds of dudes.
See, I want to remake the movie My Giant, but instead of Billy Crystal and George Mirason,
R.I.P.
Arvydas Sabonis and Terry Porter.
Ooh, love Terry Porter.
That's pretty good.
He was great in NBA Jam.
Unstoppable.
Let's move on to the awards segment of the evening.
Shoppy Shop.
The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is awarded to the worst performance in a box score.
Give it to a guy with a triple-double?
technically, we could, but we're not going to. A lot of honorable mentions. We're going to walk them up. Manu Ginobili, 0 for 9. Jamichael Green, 1 for 10.
Jamichael.
Frank Kaminsky. Frank the Foreman Kaminsky, once again, honorable mention, 2 for 13.
Didn't pay his dues.
Carmelo, 3 for 15. Anthony Davis, 4 for 17. And James Harden, 6 for 23.
Ooh, Kobe-esque.
We do have 3 nominees. Dante Exum in a loss to the Golden State Warriors, 1 for 11.
You boy.
That is a
2 points, 3 boards, 5 assists, 2 turnovers.
That really hurts when he's filling in for their best player, too. But
I really think that like we should have at least 120 plus attempt.
I mean, if they're appropriate.
That's Stackhousian.
I mean, again, we have always said there is no exact formula.
I know.
It's art. It's like last week, Klay Thompson was a nominee, a 4 for 20. Mm-hmm. A beautiful, but
420.
But Matt, exactly. Klay Thompson 420, and then Matt Barnes beat him with a 1 for 11 and a beating. Wilson Chandler is our second nominee.
Otherwise, excellent season.
In a loss to the maybe not as horrible Wizards. I mean, they're still horrible, but they're winning some games now. In a loss to the Wizards, Wilson Chandler was 2 for 16, which is that's bad. 5 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 turnover, and then the second coming of O.J. Mayo. Devin Booker in a win versus the Knicks. 3 for 17. 3 for 17. 12 points, 1 rebound, 2 turnovers, and 1 soul-swallowing block of Carmelo Anthony.
Almost absolves him.
It almost is. However,
it's not getting my vote.
Just because I know it happened because I watched the game, it's not in the box score.
It isn't a box
score. So I got to be objective. I vote Devin Booker 3 for 17. But our nominees, Dante Exum, 1 for 11, 2 points, 3 boards, 5 assists. Wilson Chandler, 2 for 16, 5 points, 8 boards, 2 assists.
I'm voting Dante. He's filling in for George Hill, so that makes it doubly horrific.
Okay. Yeah, 1 for 11 is bad and didn't really do much else on the stat sheet. So
he was terrible.
So, yeah. I think let's give that. But you were Australian, but
you
dude,
were,
right?
Chuck, you were just saying you prefer the higher shot attempts.
I block, do. Though, that block. Ugh.
Yeah, and we already pooped on Devin Booker enough this episode.
You don't want to put a bow on it? It's your choice.
You don't want to get those.
Are you going Booker?
Yeah, I vote Booker.
I'm going Exum.
So it's up to you, Chuck.
You know what?
I mean, you could throw it to Wilson Chandler and just cause chaos.
Ooh, we go to the electrical college.
Yeah, we go to the electrical college.
I'm afraid most of America thinks it's an electrical college too, Chuck. God almighty.
Yeah. We can. Let's do it. I love chaos.
Boy, the three-way tie is broken.
I'll be a faithless elector.
The three-way tie is broken by me picking one.
Oh, you pick it? So why are we even here? This is...
No. It's your chance. I think it's, you know... Exum or Booker?
I think Booker.
Done.
Yes, Booker's, I swayed him.
A la mode.
That's a pretty...
Cherry on top.
It talked me into it when you said I did mention high volume.
I swayed him like a poll watcher.
That's right.
Yeah, I was intimidated. Keith's got a club.
Chuck officially, Hall. Chuck's officially Trump supporter now.
No, that's it.
Tammany Hall, those are the good old days. Yeah. I don't care what they say.
Boss Tweed. Keith Boss Tweed Parrish.
All right, so congratulations, Devin Booker. We promised not to. Hey, the good news is, based on how it normally goes, he will explode over the next couple weeks. So Suns
pick him up in fantasy.
You can thank us for what we have said to him. All right, our par fadeaway, and then we'll talk about the Grizzlies just a little bit more in the Grizzlies epilogue. Par fadeaway. What are we looking forward to?
What I'm looking forward to is actual basketball not being canceled because of
CBA.
CBA, shouty, any sort of tomfoolery there. We have an extension, apparently, per Woj. And the best part, I think, from all the little details, one of my favorite things is that the league will shorten preseason and start the regular season a week sooner. And let the games get spaced out a bit more, so there's a lot less back-to-back.
You say that's awesome, but that's information I desperately need to keep away from my wife. hey, honey, guess what? The NBA just voted to, or just agreed to extend
Make
their season.
The season longer, yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot less back-to-back games, which I think is going to keep players from getting injured and not having these events where... players sit and people freak out, So everybody's
get off that topic. Get off of that topic.
It's a win-win for the league and for the fans.
I mean, it's great, but it's going to be 20 years in the future. They're going to be playing games in August.
Yeah.
And Abby's going to ask, I don't remember the NBA ever being in August. I'm like, yeah, it's long season.
Well, I mean, but every year we text during preseason going, why isn't this season started yet?
No, I'm being slightly facetious. Preseason is the worst thing ever.
It's awful. So to shorten it is incredible.
Of course, league pass still won't start till like the second week of November. they won't figure
I'm
it out.
I'm looking forward to more rookie explosions. Dorian Finney-Smith, Marquise Chris, Cheick Diallo. I like seeing these young guys. It's all power forwards. These young guys come out and explode. I'm into it. I want to see what... I'm really interested in Finney-Smith and Marquise Chris.
I like Chris.
I love watching, kind of pegging these young... Oh, I shouldn't have... That's disgusting. I like watching these young players and seeing what they can do. That's, one of the real joys of watching the NBA is, finding those diamonds in the rough.
Yep. Is this Finney-Smith's first year?
Dude, yeah. He's, an unsigned nobody.
I know he
nothing.
Was undrafted, but yeah. I couldn't remember. I guess
as far as I'm concerned,
I guess I just saw him in preseason. Yeah.
Hey, Aaron Gordon's coming back again too. They don't have to be this year. Just the young guys. Yeah, like those young guys.
Yeah, guys is the fun part. Speaking of kind of piggybacking on Chuck's CBA, I'm looking forward to Chris Paul getting paid $40 million to be 42.
Yeah.
Or whatever, because they extended the how long you can now be 38 and sign a 5-year extension.
Hell yeah.
Oh. That's gonna be ugly, and especially with Chris Paul being the man at the bargaining table, this is pretty much set up so him and LeBron can sign 5-year, $200 million contracts, probably at the edge of the point where you would want to be doing that.
Chris Paul's gonna play forever. He's not gonna be like Stevie franchise, like Robin Banks and stuff.
When is LeBron
gonna play forever?
Gonna get injured? Ever?
Never.
He's played more minutes than Bird and Magic.
Quit wishing horrible things upon him.
I'm not. I'm just saying it's an inevitable thing. He'll have a
fake injury so that he can go get his hairline did.
Mm.
That's the only way he's missing the games.
He's been had that Ron Popeil hair in a can game that, on fleek.
He's got that boozer hairline.
Boozer hairline.
But no, but seriously, the dude's just never been injured. And I loved it.
It's a gift.
I love
it. Jaguar hormones.
It's a gift from the basketball gods.
It is. We get to watch him all the time.
Dear basketball gods, please keep Gasol healthy all year.
Oh, did we just light a candle?
So awesome. Yes. We did light. That'll take us to the Grizzlies epilogue. For the rest of you guys, thanks for listening. Do check out our Patreon, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Go to our website, buy some shirts so we help support the podcast. That way, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. Okay, Grizzlies epilogue. I mean, what an awesome week of beating the Blazers in a...
Hey, Keith, shut up and say lots of bad things about the Grizzlies so that none of them come true.
Yeah.
One thing I don't want to be lost about that Blazers-Grizzlies game, if Damian Lillard does not do nine things...
Six fouls.
...incorrectly in a row, Grizzlies can't win that game.
That will forever be known as the Tony Douglas game.
Anytime, the next time Damian Lillard writes a letter... to be in the All-Star game, someone needs to queue up fourth quarter Grizzlies Blazers. Just don't do any of these things. Like, it was a nightmare.
Blazers are hilarious.
The Grizzlies had no timeouts with 3 minutes left in that game, and we're down 10. Mm-hmm. They won.
That's incredible.
Damian Lillard fouled Tony Douglas on shooting fouls twice in the last 19 seconds.
Oh, yes.
And they were both solid fouls.
Yes.
The referee, secret hero of that game, referee Josh Tiven, called four of the fouls in the last 30 seconds. He was on fire. He was locked
in. You know,
when
you get the hot hand.
You get the hot hand.
Stick with it.
You got to keep whistling, baby.
That is
unconscious with the whistle.
I will say, one of the fun things about the high school reffing was when a guy called like three in a row and like you or your partners would be like, brother, you're on fire. I'm letting you have it. And like kind of joke, like, brother, you are seeing the whole court. Just you do it. You know, so like there was always like kind of side, like
keep tweeting, keep tweeting.
So then the Warriors game was awesome. So my question is, I guess, John and Chuck, after this streak of them winning the games, the Cavs game, yes, the Cavs, they mailed it in. They lost the game without Gasol in Cleveland. How has this affected your output? Last week we were so down on him, we thought it was all over.
I don't know anything, man. Yeah, Grizzlies are confusing. Everything happens the opposite of what I think is going to happen, and I'm thrilled. So I guess here's what I'm going to say. The Grizzlies are going to lose the rest of their games.
Yeah, they're getting weird production out of their young guys. We are seeing them kind of gel around the team with the injuries and when they're popping up. I just think they've got a great coach from a fantastic franchise that is teaching them the winning ways of the NBA, and they believe in the whole system. It's not just like relying on one player. Everybody's stepping up in parts.
Fizdale is so awesome.
He's incredible in those glasses.
I mean, I can't help but just be so excited. I mean, it looks like...
Did you get to be close to Fizdale, Keith?
Yeah.
Did you ask him a question?
I didn't ask him a question.
What does he smell like?
One of the things about going to these NBA things, especially with someone who isn't very experienced at doing the media, actual official media thing, is there seems to be like a pecking order of everyone knows that the local guys are supposed to be able to ask their questions first, or maybe the print guys, because they got to write stuff. So I just like kind of...
That's it, Chuck. You and I are going to the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I just...
I love breaking down a pecking order.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's, yeah.
But the picket line will be crossed.
Keith's trying to go back, though.
No, so. Yeah. But we're supposed to maintain the good relationship with the franchise.
Right.
Taking over.
So it's like, you know, some of the questions are kind of, I think, like I wanted to...
I will Heisman stiff arm David Aldridge in the face.
But the one question I actually thought about asking pregame that I didn't, which in retrospect would have been, wrong.
Just Warby Parker ?
Well, I was curious if going into the Warriors game, if they had a particularly short leash on Gasol because of the huge minutes he'd played before, and if it looked like things were getting out of hand. And it's like, well, I mean, they could have had a short leash because things got out of hand, but it was in the other way.
Right.
I mean, it's just been so bizarre.
So it is so bizarre. I mean, they do have a tough stretch. I looking forward to that Dave Yeager Bowl. Dave Yeager coming back to town on Friday night.
We lose that game, and I will go into hiding.
And they still have a tough... They still have a tough schedule, as we keep saying. So I'm with you. Like, I throw my hands up. I apologize, Grizzlies fans, people who tweet at us saying, like, how could you pick them to lose? I picked they would go 4-2. Like, okay, great. Like, I can't understand that how what I'm saying. Like, Andrew Harrison has lost. He's still good on defense, but literally useless on offense. Like, worse than he has been. And it's like they're still getting. You never know what you're getting for Troy Daniels.
They're giving Andrew Harrison the Tony Allen treatment on 3-point attempts now, just letting him heave and miss.
Right.
Sad.
And he's still. And the problem is he's also still shooting him sometimes on the rotation when he's not supposed to. When he's supposed to move it more. So. I don't get it, man. They're getting bad play from guys. Zeebo coming back, actually, I don't know if it's that awesome. Because, like, I think it hurts their defense, and their defense is what's been so good. So, I don't know.
Secretly worst Grizz player lately? Jamichael Green.
Jamichael Green, as we've always pointed out, has those, like, every seven games just can't hit a shot. Mm-hmm. And we saw it in that Cavs game at Cleveland, where he had many chances to score.
We were trying
inside.
To guess what his box score was, and none of our guesses were horrible enough.
Yeah, we were all like, I think he's 2-for-8. 1-for-9 is like, no, he was 0-for-9. He hit his last shot, a last layup. So I think that's funny. So our Grizz epilogue, the fun conclusion is we don't know what to make of it. It's fun, but everything we say is wrong.
Now, here's the conclusion. If Matt Barnes, Dave Yeager, and Rudy Gay beat us, this podcast is over. Well, never doing it again.
I mean, I'll probably.
So it's high stakes.
You want to still do it, Keith?
I've always maintained if our listens go down consecutively for like four shows in a row, I'm out.
Yeah, that's it.
So I
got to keep going up.
Yeah.
Christmas is a coming.
That's right. So if we put together four in a row, like they go, I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is a lot of work. But anyway, thanks you guys for listening. That's your shortest Grizzlies epilogue where we throw our hands in the air and say, yeah, we don't know what we're talking about.
No clue.
We just watch it and we obviously can't.
It's black magic.
Draw conclusions.
Fizdale magic.
All right, so thanks you guys for listening. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.